I really just feel, hadn't planned on talking, so I'm stealing some of my beautiful husband's time, but I really feel like there's someone here, maybe a few of you, that the reason why you believe in God and you love God and you want to be close, but you don't feel you can get close, and that's because of what you've done or what you think you've done or what you have done. And I just really feel to just very quickly give you one little part of my story and who I am, because a lot of people think that being up here and having the privilege to do this for God must mean that like everything in my life was good, and I have been at the lowest of the low. Like I lived on the streets at 14, and there was a lot of stuff in my life, bad things that happened that I had no control over, but there was also a lot of bad things that I did that I chose. And that really stopped me for a lot of years, up until only 6 years ago, to be honest, 7 years ago now, that I really found Jesus in my place, that I allowed God in to work on that. So I'll just give you a snippet because I feel like there's someone here who feels like you've done too much. So let me tell you a little bit. I was abused as a child, and when you grow up, when you're abused very young, you're very sexualized. So I did a lot of things now in adulthood that I realized was quite disgusting, but for me that was normal. So I dealt with a lot of guilt and shame about that. Then I lived on the streets at 14, and I was subsequently a prostitute because there's not really much else for a 14-year-old to do on the streets. And so the people that like 14-year-old girls are usually really old men, and that was, I also did a lot of horrible things there. I tried to get myself out of that, and I got married, and I had a very destructive, violent marriage on both sides because I was very angry, and two broken people don't really make a healthy marriage. So I subsequently lost my son to cancer, and, you know, I have screamed a lot of horrible things at God over the years, and this is just a really short version, but when I came to that place of myself, I had tried to kill myself quite a few times, and after my son died, I was quite very depressed. I thought, God, really, you didn't owe me this? Like, all the things I've been through, you didn't owe me to, like, heal my son? Because I prayed, right? And I prayed, and I was so angry at God, and I came to the end of myself, and I'd had a few suicide attempts, and I had, the night before, decided, okay, tomorrow I'm just going to put a knife in my heart because nothing else works. I've overdosed and I just couldn't die. I'd be like, come on. And I thought, I'm just going to put a knife in my heart because that's the only way I'm going to, like, a research it, going to fall on it, blah, blah, blah. And my sister had said to me, Chris, I'm going to go to church tomorrow. Do you want to come? And I thought, righto, one more chance, God. You know, and I know this is not how it works for everyone, and, you know, and it was a miracle that I got to church because I had such severe depression and anxiety, I couldn't really travel outside of anywhere of my circle that I went. I went to this shopping centre and this kindy and this place, and they're the only places I could go. And so church was a 45-minute drive away, which was a long way for me to be in the car. And anyway, I made it there, and I walked in, and I came late because I didn't want all the nice Christian people to hug me and pat me on the back and say, lovely to see you, because my dad, who was a pedophile, was a pastor. So I had a lot of issues there as well, you know. So I thought, I'll come in late. And I sat at the back, and I'm sitting at the back. And as soon as I walked in, the lady leading the worship from the keyboard said, God wants you to know that he sees you, and if you take one step towards him, he will run towards you. And I said a swear word, as was my custom at the time, and I just got up and walked out the front. They didn't say come up the front, but I was just like, God, you saw me. And that church prayed over me, and I've come to know Jesus in such a beautiful way, and I feel, as I look back, I see God in every area of my life, all the times I didn't die, all the times I was in horrible situations where people have tried to kill me, and I've tried to kill myself, and it's my children and my life, and I see God in every step of it, but because I was so much focusing on my own hurt and I've done this and I'm not worth it and I'm gross and I'm dirty, I couldn't see God's love. And I'm sorry to hijack this, my love, but I really felt God wanted someone to know here, you're not too far, you're never too far. Because if anyone's too far, it was me, because I've given you this much. You know, I've had a pretty destructive, pretty bad life. I made a lot of bad choices. And that scripture. Can you please grab my Bible, darling? I just want to finish on this, Isaiah 61:3. I'm sure you all know where I'm going there. It's in my, it's bookmarked. I read it every day. Okay, so Peter just asked me to share about the unconditional love I found at church. When I first went to church, it was very different. When I went to that church where I walked up, I'd only experienced religion. I'd realised once I went to that church where it was, you know, you're the pastor's daughter, you've got to do this, or you're a Christian, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And I went to that church, I was living with a man, I was still prostituting, because that was the only way, only thing I knew how to do without thinking, and I was so severely depressed, I couldn't really do anything else. But sex was just inherent, I could just easily do that. So I was, I had two men that I saw once a week, and that was how I was living. And I walked into that church and they just unconditionally loved me. And I was still very broken and hurt. So at the end of that meeting, I thought, oh, I'm going to see what you Christians are made of, you know. And I said, oh, you know, yeah, I'm a sugar baby. I've got two sugar daddies and that's how I live and blah, blah, blah. And nobody said to me, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. No, that's not right. Everyone just said, okay. And people just unconditionally love me. And I praise God for those people in that church that were big enough to just love and not judge. And I think all it would have taken is one bit of judgment and I would have walked away. But God so fought for me. And so you're not too far. And this scripture is my... is my mantra, like this is my scripture. So Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And they will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. And I feel like that's what I am. I am the glory of God. I am the beauty and the love and the grace and the acceptance and the mercy of God standing here in front of you people. This is who I am. Through my God did this for me. So I've said this to encourage you that you're never too far and he is never not there. It's just when we're focused on our own problem, it's very hard to see God. What, darling? Yeah. Peter's like, oh, you just keep going now, love. You're preaching. Yeah, so I'm sure you've got a message. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say, guys. Thank you.